to season two of the Dare to Believe podcast. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season two?
I'm very excited about season two. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe.
Well, I'm here with Christy Grainer. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Rebecca.
And you have an exciting announcement for us.
I love that we have Emerge Transformation School coming up fall of 2019.
Tell me a little bit about what Emerge Transformation School is.
Emerge Transformation School is a 9-month school where it's created for the working adult who wants to know more of the Lord and wants to learn to walk in the supernatural, to hear God's voice, to pray for healing. We literally teach people how to do that and stay biblically based at the same time. And so we bring in live speakers. We do some speaking. Rebecca Ribnick is one of our teachers. And we meet every Monday night, except for holidays, from mid-September through early June. And what's really cool about Emerge is that we have satellite schools. We have the capacity to live stream to you. So if you're not here in the Burnsville area, we can live stream to you. You can have a school in your location. All you need is someone to lead it and some students, and we will bring the school to you.
Yeah, so basically, if you're hungry for more of God, if you have a desire for a greater intimacy in your relationship with God, you want to see the power of God in your life, and you know there is more. Well, let me tell you, there is more. There Amen. Absolutely is more. And this is just one of the ways that you can go after it. So if you're interested in hearing more about Emerge Transformation School, please go to our website, dare2believe.info, and click on the link.
We'd love to have you there. So welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. We are excited to be here in Reading with Dano and Regina McComb. Hi, guys.
Yeah, great to be with you.
So thanks for squeezing us in. These guys are on their way to the School of the Prophets.
That's right.
That's something you've done for how many years, Dano?
We're thinking it's 17. Is it 17?
That is so cool.
Yeah. It's been a while.
A lot's changed in 17 years.
It has. Very encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know Dano through Bethel Stream and through things that have happened with the Bethel, but you have a very broad kind of audience and experience. And right now you are one of the you guys are team senior leaders, right? Co-leaders?
We are currently, yes.
Tell people about...
Yeah, so we have kind of three hats that we wear. We're co-leaders at the Mission in Vacaville, California, along with David and Deborah Crone. And then
you've been there for quite a while.
20 years.
20 years, okay.
Yeah. And then I oversee a missions organization called Sounds of the Nations. We help people find the sound of revival for their city, region, or nation. We're active in about 76 language groups right now around the world.
That is so cool.
And then we are very busy with something we call Prophetic Company, and that is really rewriting what the prophetic can look like in our generation, not because it's something bad, but because we have such a great foundation, what can we build on top of it?
Yeah, and every single one of those things happened because you believed God.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's all ridiculous stuff, isn't it? I mean,
totally.
It's not ridiculous because you're very talented and gifted and you guys know the Lord, but it's ridiculous because you never set out to do what you're doing, did you?
That's true.
Specifically?
Not till the Lord kind of called us to do it. So, yeah. And then it was really a matter of believing. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about, and I want to tell people how to get in touch with you guys if they're interested in you. And we'll tell again at the end of the podcast. But these guys have written, between them, like how many books? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10.
How many books have you written? 3?
I have 3. Yes.
I have 3. I have 24 currently.
24. Yeah. We won't make you tell all the titles.
Good. That's good.
But people can find you on Amazon.
Yes.
Or they can find you on soundsofthenations.com.
That's correct. And Bethel carries our books
as
well.
And Bethel carries your books as well. So lots is out there. So people can find you easily if
they
we stir something in them. And you have a lot on YouTube as well.
don't you?
Yes. I mean, we have actually never posted something to YouTube, but there are thousands of things from things we have spoken
just
at.
People other put, people's, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Other people's meetings. Mm-hmm.
So you grew up in the church.
I did.
You've loved the Lord all your life, pretty much?
Pretty much. I was born again at about 15 years old.
Okay.
And I was raised in a denominational background, but not born again.
Yeah.
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 And Regina was raised Catholic.
Yeah. I was raised Catholic and found Jesus at about the same age Dan did, about 14,
okay,
at an Assembly of God church in Illinois.
So were you in Illinois too, Dan?
I was in Iowa, and we were right across the river from each other. So
you met each other in when you were
teenagers.
We met
each other kind of at church. I mean, we met at a Christian coffee house back in those, you know, the Jesus Movement days,
yeah,
and all the music coffee house. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I played in a band for 7 years, toured for 7 years.
What was the name of the band?
I played with several different. The one where we met was called Alpha Band, and then later I played with a rock band called King's X.
That's really cool. So yeah. Music's always been your passion.
It's been a part, yeah, of what I've done. Actually, it's just been a means for me to encounter the Lord. Music has always been one of the ways that I've experienced the reality of His presence.
Mm, and still do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so good. So then you guys got married fairly young, right?
We did. We got married at 20, and that's been a while.
How many years have you been married?
37.
37. We've been married 36, so you've got us beat by 1 year.
Yeah. Well, is that right? Is it 37? It is 37.
That's right, yeah.
Did you get married in 82?
We got married in January of 83. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're July 83, so you're only six months ahead of us.
Yeah.
But what you have ahead of us is you have... Tell about your generational thing within your family. You have how many children and how many grandchildren? And that's just, you've got a very unique situation where the Lord's kind of teaching you about generational life, isn't He?
That's true. Do you want to tell the story or?
Well, we have four children, and three grandchildren with one more on the way in just a couple months.
Oh, congratulations!
So, by generational, I'm assuming you mean that our oldest is 32.
Yeah.
And our youngest is 13. So 20-year span there between them. We didn't plan it. It just kind of happened.
People ask us if the fourth one was a surprise. I said, no, the third one was a surprise. The fourth one was a shock. Yeah.
But I've met her, and she's your delight.
She is a joy.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
But doesn't she go to school where your son is on
true.
Staff or something?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So our daughter, she's not at that school right now, but she attended school at the same place where her big brother was the science teacher for her class.
Yeah, in public school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was really fun was showing up to the parent-teacher conference as teachers. My son, student is my daughter, and yeah, that was fun. I showed up to that simply for the photo op.
I bet.
I thought, we'll talk grades later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. And tell us about Sound of the Nations. I love the story of how you started that. I mean, the Lord just kind of, He didn't trick you because you were following Him, but it was so unique the way He showed you and led you into that.
Yes, very, very different. I was doing some missions, just short-term missions in the Fiji Islands, and I was teaching at a Bible school, or I was with a group that was teaching at the Bible school, and it was the graduating class of five island nations, and they were doing a worship session. These guys have amazing voices, some of the best singers in the world, really, Fijians and Samoans, and they were singing an old hymn, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." And I started laughing because it's just such a bizarre song choice for where we were, you know, 10,000 miles from home. And most people in America wouldn't even know what that hymn meant. And And so I was kind of chuckling about it, and all of a sudden I just had an encounter with the Lord where he showed me that they were singing it because their sound was considered evil, or their instruments considered evil, and that their sound had been stolen away. And I received this call to change the sound of worship in nations. And I had no idea what that meant or why it was important, but it was... Yeah, it was really a dynamic call. So what first happened is I said, God, this is wrong. Their sound's been stolen away. Their music has been stolen away. And this is wrong. Somebody has to do something about it. And that's
the always
part
a dangerous
you were
thing
about.
To say to God,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody should do something about
Someone
this.
Should do something. And then he started chuckling. I literally heard God laughing, and he said, gotcha. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. I have other things I want to do, I want to accomplish with my life. And that's when he said, you change the sound of worship in nations. And later he expanded it into your sons and daughters will be the leading edge of revival movements around the world. And
that's so good.
And we had three artists on the red carpet this year as the number one artists in their nation. So those words are coming
true. That is so
good.
And so those are in foreign nations.
That's
They're
correct.
On the red carpet releasing the sound of their own nation
That's
over
right.
their nation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our India band has led over 1.2 million people to Christ now. So many of those words have come true.
So Sound of the Nations is in how many nations now?
That's a funny thing. I actually don't know. I know how many language groups, but I don't know how many nations.
That is so cool.
And that's because we have directors that reach into nations that mm-hmm. I don't always know about or aware.
We tell the story of how God, was it, I don't remember if it was guitar strings. That
it was,
tell
yeah.
the guitar string story, because this is, you know, we love stories about, you got to believe God. You didn't know what God was up to, but you
Not
believed him and you knew how to hear his voice
totally.
And discern his voice.
And it's the small things, you know? It's not... You know, you're going to change the sound of nations, you know, change the sound of worship in nations. It sounds so grandiose and so amazing, but it's the little things that make the difference. It's really just believing that we can change the world in the smallest ways. So I went back home and had no idea how to follow through on this call of changing the sound of worship in nations. So I thought, well, I'll go back to Fiji and I'll do a songwriting school. I know how to write songs because I traveled with bands when I was young and... had written some songs, that kind of thing. And so I'm like, I'll go teach a songwriting school. And so I arranged my ticket and my lodging and the venue and all that kind of stuff. And when it was all over, I only had a couple $100 left to my name. And I was kind of laughing at it. I was literally holding that couple $100 in my hand and laughing and saying, yeah, I'm going to change nations
so,
with a couple hundred dollars.
So, Regina, what did you think about all this when it was happening? How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I was a little outside of this story.
Yeah.
At this point in our lives.
Watching from the outside, kind of?
Yeah, watching from the outside. And
yeah, a lot of it I hadn't communicated yet because I didn't really have words for. You know, like when the Lord first speaks to you, sometimes it's still so unclear what it all means that I don't think I communicated really well.
But you knew he was going to Fiji and you knew he was doing a school and that just felt normal. And
yeah, yes, it did feel normal actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our kids were little. I was home and focused on them, and my role, I guess you would say, at the time was to just keep a peaceful home so that he could do the dreams of his heart.
Yeah.
And that was my dream,
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you helped launch this whole thing by doing that.
Yeah.
That's
totally. And Regina's helped in many, many major ways.
Yeah.
With all the book editing and managing all the finances and all that kind of stuff. But in those days, it was just a couple $100, and I was laughing at it, and I was flipping through a musician catalog, and it had guitar strings for $1.50. I was shocked because normally they're like $10 to $20. And I thought, well, it's not a very big thing, but I could buy everybody at the conference. I knew there were about 120 coming to the conference. I could buy everybody a set of guitar strings. So I sent off for a gross of guitar strings. And that was literally all the mission money I had left in the world.
And that was the end of budget.
That was it. And, you know, up until that time, people hadn't really given me instruments or anything. I'd been given one guitar before in my life. And Regina gave me a grand piano as a wedding present.
Seriously?
Yeah,
she Good did. Job, Regina. Wow.
Yeah, a baby grand.
That was fun.
Yeah. There's a long story to that, too. But anyway, so I sent off for these guitar strings. That week, I received three more guitars in that week.
People just gave them to
you? Just people giving them to me and saying, hey, this is for music and missions.
How about that? Yeah. Would that be the language of the spirit, huh?
Absolutely. So one of them was a very expensive guitar. I sold it, and I bought microphones and cables and cords that were easier to transport. And so then I went back to Fiji. I was in the songwriting school, and I said, hey, guys, before we start, I just want to give you a little gift. And I handed out these guitar strings, and they began to cry. And I actually thought I'd done something wrong, that I'd offended them or something. And I turned to the missionary. I'm like, what's going on? Why are they crying? And he said, oh, this is a huge gift. You know, this is an island nation. There's no guitar strings on this island. Like, everything has to be imported, and the taxes are really high. He said guitar strings would be about 3 months' wages. And he
wow.
said, there's not a person in here who could afford a set of guitar strings. And
isn't that interesting? And you just did it because the Lord kind of led you to the...
Totally.
It wasn't like a big, profound,
thus
says the Lord moment.
It was a small thing that I could do in the direction of this
yeah.
destiny.
And,
you know?
And the Lord worked through you to bless these guys big time and show them how much he cared about them.
So at the end of that session, a guy came up to me with tears just streaming down his face. He had a guitar that had three strings on it. Guitars normally have six. And he said, through the interpreter, you don't understand. He said, this is the only instrument on my island. I come from an island of only 400 people. And he said, this is the only musical instrument on my island.
Wow.
He said, when you gave me those strings, you changed the sound of worship on my island.
Come on.
Which is exactly what the Holy Spirit had spoken over me, that I'd change the sound of worship in nations. And just from that one testimony, I knew that I was on the right track.
So what went on in your spirit when you heard him say that?
It just was like electricity and adrenaline and joy and tears, and it was amazing. So the story goes on. You know, I went back to the Bible college where I'd received the call, and there was a man there that was winning he was winning hundreds of people to Christ.
So this is the same island.
It is. And I said, is there anything I can do for you? Like, you know, I'm just so impressed by what you're doing. And he said, well, I've been praying for a guitar for like 3 years. And I said, what are you praying for? He said, it's right here on my wall. And he had a picture of one of the guitars that I had been given.
So you
and
just happened to have it with you.
I just had it with me. So I said, no, I can't pray for that. He said, why? Am I asking for too much? I said, no, it's out in the truck. Go get it.
Oh.
And so then...
And what was his reaction? I mean, when the Lord touches someone like that, it's just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, just changes his life. Yeah.
And you know that it's the Lord because you had no idea.
I had no idea. No, it was all just believing. The
yeah.
very small things.
Yeah.
The very just moving in the direction of what God said was true, even though it seemed impossible, even though it seemed grandiose, it was just moving in that direction. And with each of those guitars, there was a divine story. And the microphones, the cables, and the cords, I went to a pastor's conference, and there literally was like probably 4,000 pastors there, I'm guessing. And I called this guy out of the back, and I felt like I was supposed to give him these microphones and cables and cords. Well, he picks up one of the mics and begins to cry. I have a picture of it on my desk. And he's singing in this mic and just crying. And I'm asking the missionary, what's going on here? And he said, oh, well, 3 years ago, a church from New Zealand gave him a PA system for his church. But he said he could never, it didn't have any microphones, cables, or cords.
So
he's never been able to hook it up.
So for 3 years he had the PA system and no microphones.
Yeah, never been able to hook it up. Never been able to, I call him out of a crowd of thousands and open a suitcase of microphones, cables, and cords. Yeah.
I love how the Lord makes us look good.
Totally.
I'm sure you were like, oh, wow, this guy, here's from the Lord. And you didn't really know you were. You just knew how
no
to follow what
idea.
The Lord was telling you to do.
I was just following those simple impressions, yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yep. And then the last guy that I gave a guitar to turned out to be one of the guitar players for Hillsong United, or United Pursuit. And so he traveled all over the world, and now he's over five of the largest churches in South Africa. So each one of those things that I was given, from just starting a very simple thing in the direction of what the Father had said. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, what do we have to do the works of him who sent us? And he said, believe on the one whom he sent. And you know what? That's my story. It's just believing on the one who sent me, you know, and just taking small incremental steps in the direction of what the Lord has said. And then he opens up these amazing stories and this amazing favor that sounds like it was all premeditated, but actually it's
just the Lord
following those inclinations,
yeah,
those whispers, those imaginations.
That also takes courage, Dano, because you went off not knowing. You could have come back with nothing. That was a risk.
Yeah.
You just dared to do what God was telling you, because it was a big risk.
I love what Bill Johnson says. You know, people ask, well, what if nothing happens? It's like nothing's what's already happening.
Yeah, so, nothing's changing.
So nothing's not a huge risk.
That's good.
Yeah.
And based, I'm sure, on some of these things with Sounds of the Nations, you did a teaching, Addis Love, and you don't have time to really talk through it, but I want to encourage people to listen to your God Vibrations teaching.
Yeah.
That is so mind-blowing and paradigm-shifting.
That came from my own journey of wanting to know why God cared about what sound we used, and then finding out that every sound has different anointings, has different breakthroughs, even possibly that different sounds have different healing virtues, and we've seen amazing things. I was just in Moscow, and we were singing over people. I'm like, don't pray. I'm not saying don't pray, but I'm saying I want to show you a different way, you know?
And we that just is prayer, don't you think? When
exactly.
We're singing over people, that's prayer.
But we just sang a simple worship song over one another, and we had like probably 30 people healed in 90 seconds.
So
you know?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I encourage listeners, I think that stuff's out on YouTube, some of it, or they can order it, right?
Yes.
God Vibrations.
Yeah, the manual is on Amazon, called God Vibrations, and then the videos, it's probably easiest to get them from Bethel, I would mm-hmm. say, or any of our Sounds of the Nations outlets around the world. They have an online course that people can take.
It's a great combination of the supernatural, the faith,
and science.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someday we'll have you tell stories about dead raisings too, because you've got some good stories about
a
dead
raising. We had some dead raised in Russia.
Did you really? Okay, tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, it's been 2 years ago now for this story, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah, dead raisings are kind of fun. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned that we had a resurrection team at our church started many years ago, but when I did, these pastors got very excited about it. So I prayed for about 200 pastors for an anointing to raise the dead. I believe we all have it, but we just stirring it up.
Because it's God that raises the dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there was 200 pastors out of maybe 2,000 that felt like it was a primary call for them. So we prayed over them. God touched them in a powerful way. That night on the way home, there was a car accident in front of one of these pastors, and the EMTs were already there. The person had been pronounced dead. He got out and said, can I do last rites over the person?
Oh, so he didn't tell him he's praying.
No,
for him.
He
yeah,
didn't
that
tell
might
him
cause
what
him
he was
to
doing.
Want you to get the other way.
Yeah, so he went over to him, and then, you know, he's convicted. Oh, I said I would do this. I have to do this. And he just spoke a simple prayer, and the guy came back from the dead.
So it wasn't any big, profound thing?
No, it wasn't. It was very simple faith. Simple faith. And
he came back from the dead.
He did. He had already been pronounced dead. He rose up from the dead. So the next morning, we had that testimony, and it was being broadcast on some kind of television in Russia. And so then within 24 hours, we had two more
seriously
people raised from the dead. Yeah, just by that.
The power of that testimony.
Yeah. And then
so good.
We've been starting resurrection teams pretty much wherever the Lord tells us to. I don't do them everywhere, but maybe you know, a dozen different places. Every one of them have had at least their first resurrection. And there's a church in Columbus, Ohio, where they had 5 resurrections in the last 6 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And 2 of them were suicides that they brought back. Yeah.
Wow.
People that had, one had hung themselves and another had died another way, and they brought them back.
Wow.
So the Lord's doing great things.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've got many more stories, but we know that you have to get going because you've got a conference to go to. This
we
is really
do.
Fun.
Yeah.
Would you guys both pray over our listeners that if they that they would get a touch of what you carry, and that they would...
Absolutely.
The Lord would stir in their hearts to go for more.
Yep. Absolutely. You want to go first or second?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Father, I just pray for the ones who are listening and saying, well, yeah, that's you, not me. Just to breathe hope and faith that you have Holy Spirit in you and you hear the voice of the Lord. And I just speak hope and trust to hear and believe even the small things, every little thing, as knowing that you're a child of the Father and his children hear his voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the simple faith to just try it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you that you said the same things that you did, we would do also, and even greater things, because you go to the Father. And so, Lord, we just contend for what you said, and we choose to believe today. And Lord, there's somebody out there asking, what do I have to do to see these kind of miracles happen? Just believe on the one whom he sent. And that's first of all, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then secondly, to believe that he's sending you. Don't wait for the revival to happen any longer, but be the revival everywhere that you go. And I just bless you with that grace through the person and the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both.
Thanks,
Christy. So we've been talking with Dano and Regina McCullum, and you can find their materials on Amazon, at Bethel. You can go to soundsofthenations.com or Mission Vacaville. Your stuff is out there. So
yeah.
Bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.